HarperCollins presents Night Flyers by George R.R. Martin, read by Mike Grady. When Jesus of Nazareth hung dying on his cross, the Vulcrin passed within a year of his agony, headed outward. When the fire wars raged on earth, the Vulcrin sailed near old Poseidon, where the seas were still unnamed and unfished. By the time the Star Drive had transformed the Federated Nations of Earth into the Federal Empire, the Vulcrin had moved into the fringes of Harangan space. The Harangans never knew it. Like us, they were children of the small bright worlds that circled their scattered suns, with little interest and less knowledge of the things that moved in the gulfs between. War flamed for 1,000 years, and the Vulcrin passed through it, unknowing and untouched, safe in a place where no fires could ever burn. Afterwards, the Federal Empire was shattered and gone, and the Harangans vanished in the dark of the collapse. But it was no darker for the Vulcrin. When Clarinomas took his survey ship out from Avalon, the Vulcrin came within 10 light-years of him. Clarinomas found many things, but he did not find the Vulcrin. Not then, and not on his return to Avalon, a lifetime later. When I was a child of 3, Clarinomas was dust, as distant and dead as Jesus of Nazareth, and the Vulcrin passed close to Daron. That season, all the Cray sensitives grew strange, and sat staring at the stars with luminous, flickering eyes. When I was grown, the Vulcrin had sailed beyond Tara, past the range of even the Cray, still heading outward. And now I am old and growing older, and the Vulcrin will soon pierce the Tempter's veil, where it hangs like a black mist between the stars. And we follow. We follow. Through the dark gulfs where no one goes, through the emptiness, through the silence that goes on and on, my night flyer and I give chase. They made their way slowly down the length of the transparent tube that linked the orbital docks to the waiting starship ahead, pulling themselves hand over through weightlessness. Melantha Jurl, the only one among them who did not seem clumsy and ill at ease in free fall, paused briefly to look at the dappled globe of Avalon below, a stately vastness in jade and amber. She smiled and moved swiftly down the tube, passing her companions with an easy grace. They had boarded starships before, all of them, but never like this. Most ships docked flush against the station, but the craft that Karoly de Brannan had chartered for his mission was too large and of too singular in design. It loomed ahead. 3 small eggs side by side, 2 larger spheres beneath, and at right angles, the cylinder of the drive room between, lengths of tube connecting it all, the ship was white and austere. Melantha Jurl was the first one through the airlock. The others straggled up one by one until they had all boarded. 5 women and 4 men, each an Academy scholar, their backgrounds as diverse as their fields of study. The frail young telepath, Thael Lassimer, was the last to enter. He glanced about nervously as the others chatted and waited for the entry procedure to be completed. "We're being watched," he said. The outer door was closed behind them. The tube had fallen away. Now the inner door slid open. "Welcome to my night flyer," said a mellow voice from within. But there was no one there. Melantha Jurl stepped into the corridor. "Hello," she said, looking about quizzically. Karoly de Brannan followed her. "Hello," the mellow voice replied. It was coming from a communicator grill beneath a darkened viewscreen. "This is Roy Dearis, Master of the Night Flyer. I'm pleased to see you again, Karoly, and pleased to welcome the rest of you." "Where are you?" someone demanded. "In my quarters, which occupy half..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?